Hey listeners, it's Nick from Kevlar Joe's Coffee Company. I want to invite you to try something new. Here at Kevlar Joe's Coffee Company, we have a bold and slow-roasted coffee that is 100% organic and ethically sourced. There are no pesticides or fungicides from the plantations we import our coffee from, and it's all single-sourced too. We have light, medium, and dark roast. Even decaf coffee as well to satisfy whatever kind of coffee you drink. We also have a variety of flavored coffees for you to try, including our hazelnut and apple pie flavored coffees, which are both big sellers. You can order our coffee at www.kevlarjoes.com. You can also follow us at Facebook, Instagram, or X for Kevlar Joe news, deals, and your daily dose of coffee-related memes, so make sure to like and follow our pages. And I'll leave you with this, listener. The world isn't a safe place right now, and it seems like it's always teetering on the edge. But don't forget, like it says in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill and cannot be hid. Let your light shine before all men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So be bold, be humble, and be Kevlar.
My name is Elliot Margioli.
This is Dr. Aaron Judkins.
This is Trey Smith.
This is Ryan Peterson.
This is Dr. Judd Burton.
This is Timothy Albrino.
This is Derek Gilbert, and you're listening to The Dig Bible Podcast.
Glad you made it. Come along for the ride as we search for hidden truth, explore historical context, and dig into God's Word to help us understand the past, present, and future of this supernatural world. This is Steve, along with Justin and Ben, and you are listening to the Dig Bible Podcast.
Hey guys, what's going on? We're here at the Hear the Watchman Conference in Dallas, the prophetic signs in the heavenlies, and I'm here with the power team, the A team, I like to call them, the OG gangsters of podcasting.
The old Gilberts, that's it.
You guys have done a lot of Hear the Watchman conferences, real good friends with Mike, and you guys actually was here, was supposed to be in Israel.
Yes, right about now. We should be in Israel, but obviously because of October 7 last year, we are not there. We do plan to go back next month, however. So if you want to go to Israel and stand strong with the people of Israel, go with us.
Yeah, and surprisingly, because the hotels are basically empty in Israel right now. Normally, you got to book way in advance, but we've been told by Lipkin Tours that they're willing to take folks pretty late in the game. So we'll be there May 6th through 13th, God willing, and visiting a couple of sites in the south of Israel that were attacked on October 7th, then going to Hostage Square in Tel Aviv and visiting with some of the families there, still keeping vigil for the 134 that we pray are still being held in Gaza. There's a report by Israeli intelligence, they don't think that but half of those people are no longer no longer with us. So but that's the point, just to go bear witness what had happened in Israel. We love the people of Israel, we love the country, and because that is the focus of this supernatural war, it's all about who controls the Mount of Assembly, that phrase in Hebrew, Har Moed, which got transliterated into Greek as Armageddon. That's what it's all about. So we plan to go there and take people to Jerusalem, stand on the Mount of Assembly, the Temple Mount. And so we'd be there right now were it not for that. But we're happy to be here at Hear the Watchman Conference. These are always like family get-togethers.
They really are. You know, one of the tragedies about the world's observation of what's going on in Israel, and this is one reason we really pray the Lord allows us to go, is that, first of all, Israel shouldn't be allowed to do what they want to do unless they get permission from the West. And as we see in Bible prophecy, at first, the world, you know, it's almost a surprise. Oh, hey, everybody's supporting Israel. Yeah, they need to go in and clean things up. But now the tide is turning, and part of that was the caravan of WCK workers that were fired upon. It's now a series of terrible mistakes that Israel admits to. But the West is using that as the excuse. Two Americans, I think, were in that. But however, it was seven people who died. I pray they're all with the Lord. But seven people are gone. 1,400 people plus were attacked or stolen from their homes on October 7th. And yet the West is using that very small number of individuals who have now passed on as the leverage to come against Israel now. We are now seeing the beginning, I believe, of the entire world coming against Jerusalem.
Yeah, I never thought I'd see the day that college campuses in the States would be having, you know, pro-Palestine and
openly
anti-Israel.
Anti-Semitic,
you know, yeah.
Openly, and calling the Jews Nazis.
Yeah.
And the way that they're attacking it, it's the groups, the very liberal groups that actually, if they were in those countries, if they were there, they'd be put to death for the things that they're doing. They're the
yes.
people that are actually supporting them.
Yes, I hate to say this, but there are some supporters, if they were in Gaza mm-hmm. and anywhere close to Hamas, they would be pushed off a building.
Yes. And it's just, it just shows you the ignorance and how people are such sheep when they listen to the general news and how we're being pushed in certain ways.
Well, I think in a spiritual sense, though, it really points to the true nature of the enemy here, because the only thing that ties those people together or unites them is their hatred of Israel, their hatred of the God of Israel, and the hatred of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because other than that, they've got nothing in common. I mean, we can laugh at the lack of cognitive dissonance. I've come to believe that being a progressive, so-called progressive, because it's really regressive, means you're immune to cognitive dissonance. I'm you know, Queers for Palestine, marching for these people who push my brothers and sisters off the, why are we doing this again?
Yeah.
They don't care because it opposes the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It opposes, it is calling for the destruction of the people that God mm-hmm. declared to be his chosen people, through whom he brought salvation to the earth. Salvation, the word translated salvation in Hebrew is Yeshua, mm-hmm. the one who brought Yeshua to the earth, Jesus Christ. They will align themselves with people who are completely opposed to everything else they stand for, as long as they are united on that one thing. And that's what we're seeing around the world.
So in that same regard, and this is something we talked about yesterday, I think it's when you look at how, you know, you say the word Allah or you say Buddha, no one cares. You know, no one will ever, you know, attack, go after, you know, those religions, those peoples. But if you say the word Jesus, it just ignites a fire in people. And it's that, I think it's that whole thing where Jesus says, you know, he stands at the door and knocks. Everybody feels that knocking on their heart. They feel that conviction. So either you're open the door or you're trying to shut it, you're trying to barricade it, and you're trying to be it fires you up in a negative way. And it goes back to the same thing, is that we're fighting, you know, not the rulers of this world. It's those evil principalities that are all around us.
That's exactly,
they have a hold on us.
You're so right. That's exactly what we have to remember, because our human initial response is, we want to yell at you if you're telling me I can't talk about my Jesus. We want to politically erase you if that's possible. We want to go to our legislators and we want to complain that we can't say Jesus on the radio. We can't talk about Jesus at the college campus. We can't celebrate Christmas or Resurrection Sunday or anything like that. We want to get angry. We want to be political about it. We want to be visceral about it. But we are to share the gospel with love and respect. And if you look at the way Jesus did it, he was angry with the Pharisees. He was angry with the religious political entity. Yes. He was gentle with those who did not yet know him or recognize him. And he always started where they were. What's their need? What's their question? And we want to go and tell you what your need is with great, you know, smack up the side of the head.
In Christian love.
In Christian love. I'm just going to smack you in Christian love. But that's one of the hardest things for me to do, is to back off and think, okay, hold on. Let me love on you first. And maybe share why I can love on you. Even if you are yelling at me and spitting in my face, let me love on you.
And I would say that extends to our approach to the people of Israel, because the war has divided the world, and it's also divided the body of Christ, because there are those inside the church who argue that Israel was founded by secret societies and the Rothschilds and the, you know, and so it's not the real Israel. God wouldn't use people like that to do, you know, to bring his prophecy to fulfillment, because the people who work behind the scenes politically don't live up to our ideas of what righteous people should be. This can't be the real thing. It's like, okay, well, I seem to recall God using a polytheist pagan king named Cyrus to send the Jews back to Jerusalem. He used Nebuchadnezzar, a polytheist pagan king, to chastise Israel. Assyria, led by polytheist pagan kings, also chastised the northern kingdom. I think the hubris of saying, first of all, God didn't do it according to the way we think it should be done, and so therefore this can't be real. You know, we're trying to be wise as serpents while being gentle as doves. Okay, there are deceptions out there. We want to be aware and cognizant. We don't want to be deceived. But the fact is, God prophesied that this would happen, and it has happened. And yet there is a significant portion of the church that says, no, it didn't happen the way I think it should have happened, so this can't be real. And besides, the people, have you read what's in the Talmud? Yeah, we have. We know what's in there. We know what the Talmud says about Jesus. It is blasphemous. Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And we read in Scripture that there is still a role for Israel to play in the end times. So I think there is some real hubris that some in the church need to step back and look in the mirror and check themselves as they're saying, look, the synagogue of Satan, those who say they are Jews and are not. Oh, it's the Khazarian Mafia, a theory that has been completely debunked both historically and genetically. So therefore, I can't support Israel. And if you're supporting Israel, then you're... I think there's a much greater chance that replacement theology, Christians who buy into replacement theology and say, we have replaced Israel in all of the prophesied promises yet to be fulfilled. I think they... Mm-hmm. are the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not.
You know, that actually could be it. And my question to somebody who is spouting that nonsense is usually, and you, which tribe are you from again? You know, are you from the tribe of Levi or the tribe of Judah? Because, you know, the Lord is going to seal 144,000, 12,000 from 12 different tribes. And if you're claiming you are part of the replacement for Israel, then you must be from one of them.
Yeah.
Can you prove that genetically?
Yeah. And what kills me is like the Hebrew roots stuff, you know?
I know.
And it's like, to me, it'd be, if I was a Jewish descent, you know, and I see a blonde-haired, pale-skinned white guy celebrating my feasts and holy days and lighting candles and talking in Hebrew and all, that would be offensive to
me. Wouldn't that be cultural appropriation?
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, and if what you believe is Hebrew roots, following the Torah, you're damned to hell anyway. You're not invited to the party, dude.
No.
You know, and there's two distinct groups. There's the righteous and the elect.
Mm. Yeah, and we've got friends who we love and fellowship with, who follow the dietary laws and celebrate the feasts, but they understand that they are saved by grace through faith.
Not grace plus. It's
right.
Not Jesus plus.
Right. They are doing it because they said, well, this is what God imposed on Israel, and we're going to do this to honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is not earning us a way into heaven. But there are those who say that if you don't do these things, then you are lawless. The man of lawlessness is the Antichrist. So you don't want to be on his team. That's taking it too far. But, you know, getting back to the Jews of Israel, we don't believe that there's a special dispensation for Jews to get into heaven. Mm. We all need Jesus, everybody. And
because
we pray.
They look upon him whom they have pierced.
Zechariah 12, verse 10. Yes. And on that day, Zechariah writes, which is the day of the Lord, which is leading up to Armageddon, the final phase of the last days, they will look on him. And it talks about the people of David, the descendants of David, the people of Judah. They will look on him whom they have pierced. And it says, look on me, the one they have pierced, and mourn as though as one mourns for an only child. So a day is coming when they will recognize what has happened. And we pray for our friends. We pray for our Jewish friends. Love them, but we just sounding a warning a little bit to the church. Just, you know, be careful that we're not being drawn into, as we try to investigate all of these conspiracy theories. Oh, it's a cabal, and the Jews are behind it. It's like, while we're trying to decipher the beast system, we may actually be helping to build it. Mm.
Going back a little bit to the Hebrew roots thing, but it plays into everything else as well, as even Paul warned against this, right? He said, those who stick to just the teachings of Moses have a veil over their eyes. It says, even to this day, when the books, or the writings of Moses are read, the veil covers their eyes and they do not understand. Mm-hmm. You think about that veil that's over the, and I firmly believe this, over the Jewish community. I firmly believe that there's a reason that God's going to use them in the end. That's him bringing them back around. That's using his chosen people to be the cog at the end, to use them as the last ditch effort for anybody left here that wants to come back. You know what I mean? Whoever has a chance to still, you know, that get, you know, he's it's closing time. He's ringing the bell. You know what I mean? And that's, he's last using call. His people to be the ones to round it up, to, like, you know, he starts with them and he finishes with them, Alpha and Omega.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. And it fits the Old Testament pattern where you see the Israelites who would follow the law, follow the commandments for a while, then they'd start getting wealthy, fat, and happy, and they would start chasing after the gods of their pagan neighbors, and then they would suffer a period of correction and then come back to him. And I think in the macro sense, that's what happens at the end times. That's good.
Which, I know your time's running short. You're emceeing today. Everybody's using that great radio voice of yours. Mm-hmm. But before we end, we're here because, you know, this conference is called, you know, the Prophetic Signs in the Heavenlies. We got the eclipse coming up, and we just had, you know, an earthquake in New York. With all the things going on, you have the, you know, it's the end of the world. You know, everything's winding down. There's the rapture's coming. What are your thoughts, you know, on the eclipse and the current events?
You know, the funny thing is the eclipse has eclipsed something else going on in the heavenlies, and that is a horned comet is making its way across. And it is visible with just the naked eye or with binoculars right now as it's approaching the sun. It is going through as we speak. What I find so interesting about that is that it's got what appears to be horns. It's not literal horns. But when Tom Horn told us his vision of the incoming asteroid Apophis, he said it was, when he first saw it, it had horns. Now, dragons in the Old Testament and in our mythology have horns. And this idea that some sort of message might be being written right now in the heavenlies with the eclipse and this comet going through. I haven't verified this, so forgive me if I'm misspeaking, but I watched a scientific presentation, and this is a genuine astronomer, not an astrologer, not even coming at it from a Christian point of view, but saying that the last time an eclipse and a big comet, this is a big comet, that happened simultaneously was when the New Madrid Fault went off in 1811. So these things going on in the heavenlies can have scientific consequences in our Earth's mantle and can cause earthquakes in some cases. So the New York earthquake honestly didn't surprise me a whole lot. The place did. I was looking for the antipodal location from Taiwan. I was looking down in South America. But so that was a bit of a surprise. But we may see another earthquake in the next few days.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming on. We appreciate it. Derek, we know you got to run. But we really appreciate your time. Thank you guys so much.
We appreciate your work, and what you guys are doing here is exactly how we got started, 13 years ago at the Future Congress in Branson. Brought our gear and set up and recorded interviews with all the speakers. And because people were willing to share with us, it really helped us, give us a foundation from where we could build and do the research that we're doing now. So
God bless you guys.
Yeah, God bless you guys. And we're glad to see younger fellows like you picking it up and taking it over the mantle, because we're getting
old.
Like, we're the OGs. Yeah. You know, the old Gilberts. So,
well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Dig Bible Podcast. All you dirty fingernail theologians, we appreciate you. Be sure to check out our YouTube, our Instagram, our Facebook, and our Twitter accounts. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And wherever you listen to us, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, be sure to give us a rating. That really helps us jump up so other people can find us. Keep digging.